Now, if you have been with us in the last couple of weeks, we have been considering together the parable of the sower. And you recall the Lord Jesus Christ in these passages that we've been reading, he has been showing us the meaning of that parable. And by the way, we need to turn to Luke chapter 8. Luke chapter 8, and today our consideration begins at verse 16, going all the way to verse 21. Luke chapter 16, beginning at chapter 8, verse 16, up to verse 21. I'll just read that passage and then we can proceed with our consideration. It says, "No one lights a lamp and then covers it with a jar or puts it under a bed, but puts it on a lampstand so that those who come in can see the light. For nothing is hidden that will not be revealed, and nothing concealed that will not be made known and brought to light. So, listen carefully, for whoever has will be given more, but whoever does not have, even what he thinks he has, will be taken away, will be taken from him." Now, Jesus' mother and his brothers came to him, but they could not get near him because of the crowd. So he was told, "Your mother and your brothers are standing outside, wanting to see you." But he replied to them, "My mother and my brothers are those who hear the word of God and do it." Yes, so as I was saying, we have been considering together the parable of the sower. So the Lord Jesus Christ, you recall, was teaching the people that were listening to him, and he was explaining to them, we are told, everything in parables. Now, so far, this is what we have discussed, that the Lord Jesus Christ was using that method because he wanted to conceal the meaning of the word of God to the majority of the people that were listening. And then secondly, we have seen that he actually took it upon himself to explain the meaning to the disciples. So far, these are the things that we have talked about. And then, if you recall the last time, we went into the details of what the Lord Jesus Christ was saying to his disciples. First of all, he speaks about the thorny ground hearer, or the seed that fell on the path. And then secondly, he speaks about the seed that fell on the rocky ground. And thirdly, the thorny ground. And fourthly, the good soil. And the seed began to be fruitful. That was his explanation. So his explanation is that the seed that fell on the footpath is the representation of those people who hear the gospel, and yet it does not make any impression on them at all. So there's no impression that they receive. And then the second two, which was the thorny ground, the rocky ground, as well as the thorny ground, are those people who hear the word of God or the gospel, and they have a temporal impression on them. They hear God's word, but the effect of it is temporal. In the passing of time, the word of God proves ineffective in their lives and in their experience. And then finally, we know of the good ground where the Word of God has a deep impression and it brings forth fruit. It has a deep impression and it brings forth fruit. Those are the four types of soils that the Lord Jesus Christ presents to us in that parable. Now, after that, the Lord Jesus Christ goes on to do what we might call an application of that parable. And he's basically wanting to see the big picture, if you like, the real reason why he's speaking to them like that, and what the responsibility that falls upon their shoulders when they listen to God's word. Now, it's very, very important for us to bear in mind the parable when we come to the application. Because if you'll notice, when the Lord Jesus Christ is now interpreting the parable, he says in verse 12, for instance, those by the wayside are the ones who hear, and then the devil comes and takes away the word. And then the ones on the rock are those who, when they hear, and then in verse 14, now the ones that fell among the thorns are those who, when they have heard, and then finally in verse 15, but the ones that fell on the good grounds are those who, having heard the word. So really, if you think about it, what the Lord Jesus Christ is emphasizing in this parable is hearing the word of God. And this is why, if you come now to verse 18, this is really, if you like, the climax of this whole passage. This is the main lesson of this whole passage. He says in verse 18, therefore, take heed how you hear. So, there's a sense in which, if we're to ask ourselves the question, what is the main point of the passage that we have read, Luke chapter 8, all the way from verse 4 up to where we have ended today, the main point is this: be careful how you listen to God's word. That is the main point. Now, if you think about it, this is very, very important, because those of us, especially those of us who are Baptist, are very concerned about good preaching. And we should be concerned about good preaching. The Lord Jesus Christ here is reminding us we should not just be a people who are concerned about good preaching. We should, and perhaps we should even be praying for that good preaching. But equally important, apart from being concerned about good preaching, we should also be concerned about good listening, good hearing. Because everything, as far as the Lord Jesus Christ is concerned here in this parable, everything depends on that. If you want, your eternal destiny this morning depends on how you hear the word of God. And that is why the Lord Jesus Christ is emphasizing this point. Yes, good preaching is required. We should be looking for it. We should be praying for it. We should be encouraging those that preach among us so that we have good preaching. But not just good preaching, we should also be concerned about good hearing, good listening, as those people who are truly committed to hearing what God has to say. Because you see, God is not just here to entertain us. God means business with us. And therefore, if we respect God, if we love God, if we our aim is to please God, then it is very important that we must learn to listen to His word. We must learn to hear His word. Hearing with an intention to obey, to comply to that word that we hear. This is, in fact, one of the things that again and again is found in the Old Testament with respect to the children of Israel. God again and again wanted them to be people who listen. If you want to hear, or to use the old King James language, the word is hearken. How many times in the Old Testament that the word of God, through the prophets, through Moses, the servant of God, came to the children of Israel, to the children of Israel, and the long and short of it was this: hearken to the word of the Lord. So, I want to suggest to you this morning that listening to God's word is not something that you do passively, half asleep. Listening to the word of God is an intensely active thing. And you really need to pay attention, to make every effort to be there, to hear the word of God. Because that is the only way God's blessing will be bestowed on you. It is as you pay attention, as you listen to the word. So I do encourage you this morning to pray for me as I preach to you. I really need that prayer. But do not forget to pray for yourself, that God would give you ears that hear. God would give you a heart that is truly longing to hear the voice of God. Otherwise, you end up like these people that the Lord Jesus Christ is speaking about here. He says, seeing they may not see, hearing they may not understand, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophet Isaiah. That God sent His word to them, and the word, rather than benefiting them, the word actually was a curse to them, because by means of it, they were hardened and they did not hear God's word. So, this is how the Lord Jesus Christ applies the parable to us. Take heed what you hear, or take care how you listen, or keep your eyes on your ears, if you see what I mean. I mean, you can only do that in the mirror, but I'm speaking of it figuratively, metaphorically. Keep your eyes on your ears. And I want to suggest to us this morning four ways in which we are to listen to God's word. Four ways in which we are to listen to God's word. First of all, the first way is the one that is given to us in verse 16 of Luke chapter 8. No one, when he has lit a lamp, covers it with a vessel or puts it under a bed, but sets it on a lampstand that those who enter may see the light. And there, the first way in which we are to listen to God's word is to listen in such a way that once the word of God has gripped our hearts, we want to be a people who spread the light. Like that little song we like singing, "This Little Light of Mine." Once the gospel has come to you to transform your life, this is not something that will be hidden. This is something that is going to be obvious, but more importantly, there's going to be a genuine desire on your part to make known that Savior who has rescued you from your sin, to make known the Lord Jesus Christ who has shown kindness and pardon to you, who has called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. You will want that light to shine everywhere so that people who are in darkness might find mercy just as you have found mercy. So the first way in which we hear is to hear so that evangelistically we become a people who are concerned to shine the light wherever we may be. That after we have heard and believed the gospel of our Savior, the Lord Jesus, this is a desire that we have. Let your light so shine before men that they might see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. What has happened? Because you have received God's word, and God's word has left an impact in your life. Because it has brought an impact in your life, you want the whole world to know about Jesus the Savior who has come into your life. And what the Lord Jesus Christ is telling us there in verse 16 is that really, when you receive the word of God, you will not be silent. I mean, if you receive it well, like the seed that falls on good soil, you cannot receive the word of God and be silent about it. It is something that will naturally want to flow out of your heart to let others know that you have come in contact with a Savior. So that is the first way of hearing, and hearing in a way that is profitable. It is that we believe the gospel, and the gospel is working its way in our lives. And because it's working its way in our lives, the change is obvious for all to see, but there is also a willingness for us to talk about it wherever we have opportunity to open our mouth, to express our grateful joy. If you recall, the very first verses in Luke chapter 8, we are told about those women. It says, he went through every city and village preaching and bringing the glad tidings of the kingdom of God, and the 12 were with him. And certain women who had been healed of evil spirits, infirmities, Mary called Magdalene, out of whom came 7 demons, Joanna, the wife of Cusa, Herod's steward, Susanna, and many others who provided for him from their own substance. Here were people who had met the light, who had encountered the Lord Jesus, and they had a terrible background, but they had been transformed by his power, and they were out there making him known. That is the first way in which we listen with profit. It is that we believe the gospel, but that the gospel, as we receive it, it has an impact in our lives, and that impact is felt even by others. But there's a second way in which we listen. And that is what we find in verse 17. It says, "For there's nothing that is secret that will not be revealed, nor anything hidden that will not be known and come to light." In other words, in verse 17 here, we are speaking about a hearer who is authentic, as opposed to a hearer who is hypocritical, or one who is seeking to hide. In other words, what we are saying here, or what the Lord Jesus Christ is telling us here, is that once you encounter the Word of God, once you encounter the gospel, God's Word comes with a searching ability. It comes with a convicting ability. It comes with the ability to reveal hidden secrets in your life. The Word of God brings, as it were, the light in your heart to show you the areas in which you have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. God, as it were, is putting His finger in your own heart, in your own soul, and telling you, this is sin. You cannot continue to live like this. And as the Word of God speaks to you like that, you willingly give yourself over. You do not resist the light. You do not begin to pretend that all is well just because you are religious. And this is something that is so true of all of us who are religious and frequent a place of worship. It is that the possibility is high that we can have one face when we are in church and quite a different one when we are not here. And what the Lord Jesus Christ is warning us against is against that attitude of hypocrisy, that God's Word comes to you, it speaks to you, it convicts you. You must own your sin and come to the Lord Jesus and confess your sin and ask for pardon and for cleansing and begin to walk in the light. Now, if you turn to Luke chapter 12, it actually helps us to understand that passage a little more. Luke 12, beginning at verse 1. It says, "In the meantime, when an innumerable multitude of people had gathered together so that they trampled on one another, he began to say to his disciples, first of all, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy. For there is nothing covered that will not be revealed, nor hidden that will not be known. Therefore, whatever you have spoken in the dark will be heard in the light. And what you have spoken in the ear, in the inner rooms, will be proclaimed on housetops." And what the Lord Jesus Christ is warning us here, you have two choices. The first choice is for you to face the Word of God just as you are, and be honest with yourself. As the Word of God comes to you to point out your sin, be honest and come to God with your sin. If not, the Lord Jesus Christ warns, a time is coming anyway when you will be exposed for what you have always been. You will be shown to the whole world that you have always been a hypocrite. The time is coming. And instead of you waiting for that time, you have a gracious occasion when you have the means of grace provided to you, when the Word of God is proclaimed in your hearing, that you will believe that word, receive that word with meekness, with humility, admitting your sin, confessing your sin, and you will obtain forgiveness and pardon in Jesus Christ our Savior. That is the kind of hearer that the Lord Jesus Christ is talking about. An authentic hearer. A hearer who is keen to bring his sin to God when God, by his word, points it out to him. And then thirdly, we have a hearer there who is fruitful. It says in verse 18, therefore take heed how you hear, for whoever has, to him more will be given, and whoever does not have, even what he seems to have, will be taken from him. And here, this is really the main lesson of the passage. That if you are a person who is determined or concerned about hearing God's word, believing God's word in such a way that you bring forth fruit, that you will be a person who is blessed. Because as you hear and obey and bring forth fruit, the promise in the gospel is that more is going to be given to you. That your life will really be a blessing. That even people who know you will know something of what it means to be blessed because of God is working in your life. But if you're a person who just hears and not a doer and not who obeys God's word, he says in the end, you will be the most impoverished person. He says even what you think, even what you perhaps think you have will be taken away from you. And then when you die, you will appear before God, a naked soul with nothing to show, because you were not a fruitful hearer. And so, beloved friends, this morning, I feel it is my duty to emphasize to us that the simple act of listening to God's word is not so simple after all. That there's a lot that is riding on this. This is extremely important to you and to me. As if we are to be a people that will be blessed as we live our lives in this world, here is the way of blessing. Take care how you hear the word of God. The word of God is sent to you. And God, in his grace and favor, he means good to you. He sends his word to you. And you need to pay attention. You need to hear well. You need to listen. You need to take heed to the word of God. If you do, you will have so much blessing in your life. If you don't, your life will be dry. Your life will be fruitless. And in the end, you will die and go empty-handed before Almighty God. I want to suggest to you, that is how the Lord Jesus Christ is bringing his word to us. And he said this, obviously, because there were a lot of people who were following him. There were a lot of people who were following for all kinds of reasons. They were following him because perhaps they had heard that this man, he performs miracles. He heals the sick. Here is a man who provides food to the hungry. He was able to feed the 5,000. So there are so many people who were interested in Jesus Christ for all kinds of reasons. And he wants to warn his disciples. Don't be like that. the hearer on the path, or the stony ground hearer, or the thorny ground hearer, it will not do you good at the end of the day. At the end of the day, you will only lose even what you thought you had. But pay attention to God's word. Take heed how you hear. Take heed how you listen. Because if you receive the word of God, if you comply with the word of God, if you submit yourself to the word of God and bring forth fruit, he says, you will have so much more blessing. You will not know what to do with it. If you notice, go back in verse 15. The ones that fell on the good ground are those who, having heard the word with a noble and good heart, keep it and bear fruit with patience. But if you read the passage that our brother read for us in Mark chapter 4, he says, you will bear fruit 100-fold, 60-fold, and 30-fold. Meaning, there's going to be such blessing in your life that even those around you will not help. But notice, God's richly blessing your life, that your life is a fruitful life. It's a blessing to even those who are near you. So, in terms of the application, this is what we need to say to ourselves. What kind of hearer am I? The Lord Jesus Christ here is describing the various biographies of people who listen to him, of people who come to church and hear his word. And bear in mind that those whom he calls the wayside hearers, the ones who hear and the devil comes and takes away the word, they come to church. It's not like they are irreligious. They do come to church. They hear God's word. But it has no effect on them. So the Lord Jesus Christ is describing for us who we really are as we listen to his word. And the question is, what kind of hearer am I this morning? The Lord Jesus Christ can only tell us about four kinds of hearers. What kind of hearer am I? What kind of hearer are you? And may God in his grace be pleased to give you ears that hear and to give you a heart that is truly hungering and thirsting after God's word. And to be a person, to use the words of James, who not only hear, having heard, who is a doer of God's word. Let us pray. Our Father, we want to thank you for the warning that comes to us from your word. And we humbly bow before you and acknowledge that unless your spirit is pleased to do his work, that we would persist in our own unbelief and blindness. And so we beseech thee this morning that your word will not only find room, but that your word will cause us to be the kind of people that you want us to be, a people who are seeking to walk in the way of the Lord, and the people who are seeking to bring glory and honor to your name by bearing much fruit, and fruit that will last. We ask that you might hear us, and may Jesus Christ alone be honored and be glorified, because we ask in his name. Amen.